What do people say? Speed?
Camera speed something? on like a film set?
Yeah.
I don't know. And do they say end scene or and scene?
And scene. And that, if you say it like that,
or
it's
end scene.
No.
No?
Like, I feel like if you say and scene, or you can say end scene.
Okay. So you can't say end scene.
No. Because...
And no. Scene.
I mean, you could. You're the director. So you can do what you want.
End scene. Begin scene.
Begin podcast.
Welcome to this extrasode of Honest Jams.
Yeah.
We did covers about a place.
Covers about a place.
And so that was a fun time for us.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't have the same experience as I did.
No.
Looking through and kind of testing.
Right. We reverse engineered this.
Yes.
I had a song that I wanted to do and then, yeah, pick the prompt as a result of that. And then,
so you didn't get to do a fun playlist of like, what place songs are there?
Or even looked on the internet because it had nothing to do with the next part of the show, which is...
Three things.
What did we pick? Because we talked about it, but we didn't text about it, so it wasn't in writing anywhere.
You didn't have confirmation?
I just had to remember.
Three places where we've written songs.
Okay, that's what I did.
Good. What is your first one?
Okay, number one, I feel like I've spent an inordinate amount of time living in transitionary periods of my life in laundry rooms,
mm-hmm.
in basements of people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in my youth. And
so you write to the rhythm of the dryer.
Yeah.
Then you don't notice it when you're writing. And then later you're like, oh, that sounds exactly like.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of time in those kind of spaces where you're like, you know, waiting to hear if somebody's like walking down the stairs,
mm-hmm.
coming to knock on the door or not.
Well, I'm right there with you. I had basements as my first one.
Because
every house we've lived in, we've like built a recording studio in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I have especially fond memories of like practicing and working on songs and writing songs in the summertime in a nice cool basement.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like a respite.
Yeah. It's like the basement's time to shine in the summer.
Yeah. You don't feel so much like you're just living in a cave your entire life.
Yeah.
It's like a little
but when I
cool
walk,
oasis.
When I walk into someone's dusty, piled, filled basement, I think like, oh, is it time to work on some lyrics or to jam? That's just my association with basements.
Yeah.
It's not like searching for documents or something. I do that too. What's your second?
I'm not well organized enough to even know where my documents are. Number two.
That's a big part of the search, locating the pile of papers.
So this is kind of a larger one, but this on a road trip or kind of like touring, traveling in general, mm-hmm. like this kind of, I guess more broadly, but when I first thought of it, I was thinking of this adventure that I've talked about a bunch. It's kind of a seminal one in my development. That was just like this trip that I took with a bunch of buds that we had like a motorhome. And so mm-hmm. like just sitting in the back of the RV and writing like, while it's moving, like usually when you're driving, there aren't a lot of art forms that don't make you car sick.
Mm-hmm.
And songwriting is one of them where you can really just be strumming on your ukulele.
Yeah.
So I have this, yeah, just memories of just like driving down the road, just like strumming as a way to pass the time. And then specifically like one spot that we stopped at on that trip was this like, I don't remember the name of it anymore. And the further away from time that I get from it, the more like mythic the whole mm-hmm. area becomes. Like in my mind, it's this like, you know, we had this like national parks pass. So we would just like go to national parks mm-hmm. all the time. And I think this was in California and it was like super windy spot. In my mind, you like drive through this like gigantic fields of like reeds, like large weeds, like marshy kind of stuff. And then you get to this like creek that you like can hike up to the top of where the creek, like where the spring is for the creek.
Do you know which like quadrant of the U.S. it was?
California,
in?
I think, but it could have been like Nevada or Utah. But mm-hmm. pretty sure California. You hike up to the top where there's a spring, and so then that's kind of like coming out, letting water out. And I remember writing this song, like going to the middle of the spring where there's like this island in the middle of mm-hmm. it, and like just sitting there and you know just writing this song. And that whole area, there was like a cave with a big like cold pool underneath it that had really cool acoustics that I remember strumming underneath, and they would all like trickle down. There was like a hot spring like right next to it too that would like trickle down the side. It was just like, it's a lot in my mind what this place is, and it probably is just a
amazing
combination.
You should
of
go
a
on a
different...
great adventure to find the place again.
I've driven through that, you know, I've done that drive many times, just like DIY touring or whatever. Like I always come up the east side of California because it's so pretty on that side, you know. And I'm pretty sure it's that kind of that in that area, kind of northern California, like around Yosemite or something around that area. But just lives as a dream in my mind at this point. That whole trip does.
My second one sounds a little mundane compared to that, but it's hotel bathrooms.
Ooh, the acoustics.
They've already got reverb. And you can be slightly, you can annoy your bandmates slightly less until they're knocking like, hey, I gotta take a shower. What's going on? Did you get verse two yet? Come on.
You just sit on the toilet mostly, or where's your...
Or the edge of the tub is a great place to sit.
Yeah.
I mean,
put your feet in the hot water.
Not usually. I just have a ukulele, so it's pretty easy to fit. It wouldn't be like setting up an 88 key Yamaha or something in there.
Yeah.
Hotel bathrooms. And your final one.
The final one, another outdoorsy one. The beach is always really fun to write a song. I always love writing songs there because it's like...
Because seagulls come up and are your audience?
The reason I think I like it a lot is because it's like... Well, just the ocean, obviously, it just like does something to me, you know, just kind of the magnificence of that in front of you.
It's always windier than I think.
Well, that's what the other thing that I was going to say is that it's so windy that you can kind of not even hear yourself. And there aren't very many like public places where you can kind of be like playing kind of loud, but nobody around you can really hear you.
You can belt it.
So it's kind of fun to be able to just kind of like do that around other people, but not have them know what you're doing kind of.
Yeah, for like 12 minutes till your fingers freeze up.
It's true.
It's a trade-off.
We clearly live on the Oregon coast. Yes. All right, number three.
I still believe that some little Southern Californian kid inside that believes, oh, beach, it's going to be warm. You're going to like lay out on a towel. No.
It's summertime.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. It's more of like, you're walking. You stay warm. You're walking. My third one's pretty vague. It's public parks.
Great.
Public parks that have interesting acoustic situations. Like
that's really fun.
Cement tunnel kind of thing.
Yeah.
Under a walkway or something.
Yeah, covered basketball.
Gazebos are great.
Yeah.
I have one in particular that was a staircase down into the water in Spain in Bilbao. And they have these kind of rivers that I didn't know about before I went there. Tidal rivers? I think.
I don't know.
I hope I'm right about this. I'm not going to look it up. There's a tide because it's just coming off the ocean right there. So... it's just not something I imagined, but there were all these staircases along the river. And so I went and I sat down on one and, you know, I got like my ukulele and my little picnic and I have, you know, all these items and I'm just bringing my fun little songwriting picnic with me and I'm sitting on the steps and writing a song and the water keeps creeping up.
Starts encroaching
like,
on you.
Oh boy. Okay. I got to move to the next step. And it took... It took me a few steps before I was like, this isn't stopping and it's coming fast. And it's like, I could play through half this song and then I'm going to get swallowed up by this thing. And the song was about that experience and about the steps. It was, I ended up meeting some fellows later at this bar to help me translate it into Spanish. So it started in English and it was step by step.
Ooh, nice.
Escalona, escalona. And I'm just musing about like the fish in there and time going by. And, you know, it was that fun thing where I get to write a poem that doesn't rhyme at all and then put it into another language, which then I'll do the rhyming part.
You wrote it in English and then they helped you translate it?
Yeah. I wrote it entirely in English and it was like not rhyming at all.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I don't know why I can't just do that for a song in English. Like, that's the hardest thing for me is just to...
Not rhyme?
Yeah. Oh. Like, oh, I'll just write some poetry and not rhyme. Like, it's so hard. But it is when I knew my rhymes would be wasted anyway.
Right. Unless
not wasted, but, you know, kind of... We would lose that particular rhyme scheme.
Right.
But Spanish is really easy to rhyme in.
Is
you
it?
Got the
lots of vowel endings.
Uh-huh. A lot of things ending in O or yeah. E or, yeah.
So. I had this an interesting thing with the song I did this week, that it's in a different language, and only I knew kind of the English translation, but then looking at the, I'd never looked at what the words actually mean, and they are like completely different words than
what
the Portuguese says. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You wouldn't know that unless you were studying Portuguese.
Well, unless I did the
song. How's your streak going? Are you still every day?
Still on streak, yeah.
What do you have now? Like a month?
Although it does this thing where it's, yes, yeah, it's something like that. But it does this thing where it allows you to not continue the streak. If you miss a day, they have these like streak gimme points or something like that. It just kind of keeps your streak alive even if you miss a day.
Oh, okay.
So, but
I feel like they understand a lot about psychology.
Exactly. It lets you off the hook, but keeps you motivated to keep the streak alive still. It's kind of fucked. But it's kind of interesting to think about with my own. It is important for things like that when I feel like when I'm in trying to get like a habit of something like that, to be forgiving of myself when I drop the habit and then recognize that I can, in spirit, keep the streak alive by just going back to it again, rather than just kind of like being like, well, the streak's dead, so I guess I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think they know something, a bit or two. All right. Should we get to these songs?
Let's do it. Let's go to some places.
What did you make this week? What did you make this week? Tell us all about it. 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 Tell us all about it.
Do you want to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go first.
Because you had the
idea. Do you have a sense of what song I'm going to do?
Well, now that you said it was in another language.
You've definitely heard this, me play the song while we're cooking before.
Nothing's but coming to mind about a place in particular,
yeah.
But I wouldn't even know if I was hearing about a place.
In a different language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's just like a name I'm hearing again.
Right.
There's a few Portuguese words that keep jumping out in all the music from Brazil that we listen to in this house.
Uh-huh.
And one of them I looked up and it was madrugada. And that's the dawn. It's the sunrise.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't know.
Naturally
that
poetic.
That could be like some island somewhere, you know? I don't know.
Totally. Or yeah, just you're hearing it. I mean, that was the hardest thing about. It's the thing that I'm most self-conscious about with doing a song in a different language is like, I was just talking with a friend about this, like I have no self-awareness around, because there's no way to have self-awareness, you know, like you don't know, for instance, what your accent actually sounds like to a native person. You don't know what kind of accent you're picking up, even.
You can just look at the sources and mimic.
And see, yeah, it's basically a thing of like, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know like the way that you're like speaking is like overly formal. You know, if your ear isn't attuned to it, you might not even hear kind of like the way that the vowel sounds are like moving in between one another, you know? And I'm always a little shy about kind of like, and there's also this weird cultural taboo. I was thinking about this too. Cultural taboo in this culture of putting on an accent, you know, it's like it's thought of as bad in many ways. Like if you say, you know, I always talk about this with the word hummus for me, where it's like if I say hummus, like nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about. So I've been enculturated to say hummus to all my American friends, even though the original way that I said it was completely different.
You must have heard that as a kid.
Exactly. And that's the, you know, quote unquote right way to say it for, you know, and it's also closer to the culture where that food comes from than the American way. But that doesn't make it right. That's just language, you know. And if you do stuff like that in this culture too, then people think of you as pretentious if you like say it with like a certain accent or something. You know, they think you're being like hoity-toity, which is I think probably more, it's just kind of like this American exceptionalism or something, because that isn't my experience like traveling in like Europe, where people are much more likely to be multilingual, you know, where they just naturally know the accents. So they, you know, just they do the accents for the words with the accents.
Yeah.
And that, you know, say, that happens in music all the time, where it's like, if you're not from Jamaica, you're not supposed to put on, you know, the reggae accent or whatever. You know, it's just interesting that the different kind of like cultural taboos around all that stuff. So, it sometimes feels weird to try to put on the accent of like saying the word properly rather than just like say it like with the American accent.
Right. But I mean, if somebody gave you a hard time I mean, you have like Brazilian heritage.
Sure. You know? Well, yeah.
So you could be.
I have like, the identitarian excuse.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's. I mean, for me, either way, like that's just me. Another person could do that, and it's cool. Like they should. You should try to speak the language the way that the native people speak the language.
Right, right.
In my mind. But it's just weird, the kind of like, you know, it's just these weird cultural traditions and norms and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then other white Western cultures, it's considered more okay. Now, like French, English speakers just butcher because it's just hard.
Uh-huh. And make the accent is much more acceptable to put on also. Mm-hmm. Weirdly. Anyway, so those are things that I thought about. And the song, there's a Brazilian cafe down the street that I recently went to, and they had a piano there. And I was like, maybe I'll learn a song to, you know, play. The dude seemed like he, you know, was interested in having music in there. So you could
do this one?
Well, I could, but not the way that I recorded. This mm-hmm. one I kind of recorded in a little more experimentally synthy kind of way. Mm-hmm. But now I know the chord changes and stuff. It's a jazz standard. It's Corcovado, Tom Jobim, Antonio Carlos Jobim. Written song. I first heard it on the Gets Gilberto record. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton of amazing versions out there. There's a great one on the Elis and Tom record that I sometimes put on. Really, I don't have that discerning of an ear. But I basically just, I listened to that, the Gets Gilberto one, the way that he sings it in that, which I originally knew the English lyrics. So I didn't even know what there's a Estrude sings at the mm-hmm. beginning of that, but she sings in English, mm-hmm. And then he sings it in Portuguese. And I didn't know anything about it, what Corcovado was, but it's that famous hill with the statue of Christ on top. Mm. You seen that picture? It overlooks Rio.
Oh,
just a famous statue, which I usually, you know, those kind of religious things kind of turn me off. But it's just kind of using. It seems like. You know, it doesn't feel overly religious. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like using the imagery of like looking out over the mountain. And then
I'm a big fan of large statues, so religiosity doesn't taint it for me at all.
Really? But is having to say the words, because he does say like the Redeemer or something in this song. So does that taint it for you at all?
No.
Okay. You're just down.
Well,
there's that Georgie Ben song, the you know, Jesus Christ is my friend or whatever. Yeah. That one kind of also kind of a little turned off by that, even though, you know, it seemed Jesus Christ. It's a good song. Jesus Christ seems, you know, fairly. It's just the things that have been done in the name of Christ are not really my favorite. So,
well, we can take what we want from religion, which is a lot of good music.
All right. I'll stop blabbing and just play this song.
Esse amor numa canção pra fazer feliz a quem se ama. Muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra sonhar. Da janela vê seu Corcovado, oh Redentor, que lindo. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci. O que é felicidade, meu amor? Thank you.
servirci di screnti desse mondo a un pentrar vosè conhecí. O que é felicidade, meu amor?
Classic tune. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to name the title of that, but I know
totally.
It.
Yeah,
I could draw up the melody. The whole melody in my head, but I don't have a single syllable of lyric. Totally. I would not have been able to.
Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars is the English the name of it.
But you said they deviated quite a bit with lyrical content.
It seems like it, yeah. Because it wasn't even, I think, translated so much as like adapted.
Hmm.
Yeah, the English ones are Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars, Quiet Chords from My Guitar, Floating on the Silence That Surrounds Us. Quiet Thoughts and Quiet Dreams, Quiet Walks by Quiet Streams, in a Window That Looks So to Corcovado, Oh How Lovely.
And then something about Felicitations of Love or something like that, right?
So here's what Google gives is the translation of the Portuguese is a corner, a guitar, this love in a song to make happy the one you love, very calm to think and have to dream. From the window you can see Corcovado, the Redeemer, how beautiful. I always want a life like this with you close to me until the old flame goes out. And I was a sad disbeliever of this world when I found you. What is happiness? I don't know. This is a direct translation, but I don't know anything. You know, I'm still describing, like, you know, my dog wears a coat or whatever. So that's kind of like my level of Portuguese. I put that synth down just following the, like, chords. You know, those chords are, like, pretty jazzy. And
did you have it in, like, a real book or
I just looked
book?
Online chords or whatever. I didn't check with my ears whether or not I was getting the right ones, really. And then I found this little kind of, like, bloopy kind of, it, you know, it's more of like a synth sound, but if it's really faded back, it sounds like a little drum machine kind of thing, and it gives a weird rhythm throughout that's kind of fun. And then just tried to do the song over it and kind of, you know, sang it a little bit in that, you know, style, the similar kind of, like, just kind of flat affect, a little quiet and close to the mic. And yeah, then added those little flute sounds to give it a little interest in between the verses.
Yeah, I mean, that melody with those chords is already,
it's just all you
so
need.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Okay, your turn.
That's a great one.
So a place.
A place. So at first I had like a bunch of really long, complicated, proggy ideas. Uh-huh. For a minute, I thought I should do I Love LA by Randy Newman.
Ooh.
But it's just like, it's so epic. It would have taken a long time.
It is very epic.
And eventually, I don't remember what made me think about this, but
It changes keys multiple times, right?
Yeah, there's like breakdowns and there's, you know, a lot of backup vocals. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have pulled it off anyway, but that's why it was so lovely to find this little 2-minute crunchy rock jam from Dear Nora's first album called Three States Rarities 1997 to 2007. Now, I didn't know that these were all compiled on an album and what it was called, because back in the earlier days of me finding music online, I just found like MP3s somewhere just loose floating out there, you know, just thinking like they were dumped from a 4-track or something. It has this very lo-fi.
The wild west of file sharing was definitely like you'd think you had a whole album and you think an album went a certain way and then you get the real version and there's like three other songs on there.
yeah. And this was a collection from different eras at first.
Right.
But yeah, these early songs are so good. And this one is called Up on the Roof.
Nice.
I tracked it at my bandmate Danny's house, and he played guitar while I played drums, and we didn't use a metronome, which was notable.
Nice. Yeah.
The original song has this really frenetic feeling with like this frenzied feeling with the drum fills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like trying to maintain that, but I just couldn't quite get exactly. I think it was Mariana Ritchie who was the drummer of that band in the early days. I might be wrong, but yeah, her unique style, like I wasn't able to bring as much of that with me as I wanted, but it was a very fun little rocker to do and feel free and we did one take and we're like, that's pretty good. And then I realized like, yeah, let's move the key. And then we did another one. So I think we just moved the key up a whole step. It's a simple enough song to where it's easy to, let's do it in B instead of A or whatever. So
cool.
Up on the roof.
Happy birthday, hypocrite. I hope you got the letter I sent. Send a smile to mom and dad. Let them know I'm never gonna come back. I've been around for 20 years. I added one for all my efforts. Now I plan to disappear forever. Up on the roof, there's a telegram for you.
Love some early Dear Nora, and also her recordings on that Rarities album are so lo-fi that it's fun to do because, you know, you can bring a little bit more fidelity into it.
Yeah, totally, a little transformation like that. Yeah, that's cool.
If people are interested,
and there's no bass on there.
There is bass.
Oh, there's bass.
Yeah, Danny went back over it and did bass. It's like mixed in there pretty low.
Okay.
I'm as of late offloading a lot of mix duties, a lot of tracking duties. I've got a whole handful of collaborating folks that just make these songs get done and be a fun excuse to hang out and, you know, make music with people. So it's really nice. If people are interested in Dear Nora, I have to say the album Will Have a Time is just a perfect album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her melodies are so good and the chords are simple yet just so good.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just put
things in the right place.
Yeah. And I think her songs are timeless. There's kind of a 60s vibe with some of it melodically and chord wise, but it really can just exist anywhere in time.
Yeah, totally.
And voiced however. I could hear that being on a keyboard instead of guitar. You know, we stayed pretty true to what they did for the original.
Rock out.
Yeah. But I'd always wanted to do that, and I wouldn't have remembered.
So the place is on a roof.
Up on the roof. Uh-huh. That's the place.
Nice.
I mean, that is
the
place.
How did you get to that, though? Did you just thought of it randomly, or was it like there was actually a list of songs about places, and one of them was on the roof?
I was looking at songs about places. I was looking at that. And
yeah,
of course, you got like
do.
Africa by Toto and stuff.
Oh, no.
Like, there's these classic, like, mega hit places, place songs. And somehow from that, I think I got to, like a place could be like in a house. Like, is there a song about like a basement or in the living room?
Under the bridge.
Under the bridge. There you go. That could be a place. And then somehow I just thought, oh yeah, up on the roof. And then I did look through the rest of that Rarities album and go, ooh, is there any other like place song in there? And I looked through her album, Mountain Rock, because I know there's a lot of places in the woods in that album. But Up on the Roof was just too crunchy of a little 2-minute rocker,
yeah.
You know, and the whole thing, the whole exercise was done in like 3 hours. Yeah. It was so fun.
Love it. Yeah. Easy song. Bang it out.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, I don't know why you said notable about the metronome, but it didn't feel like it tempo waned or anything like that.
It was pretty tight. There's a couple places where there's a longer fill and I kind of like get ahead.
Uh-huh.
Chicka, chicka, chicka. Like I,
yeah. But probably something more you hear than other people, I would guess.
Maybe so.
I mean, unless you maybe scrutinize the song.
Yeah, or maybe the earlier take that we abandoned because it was in the original key and it was a little too low for me. That one might have been more like rushing. Like,
well, you listen know the, for all your mistakes the second time I
well,
listen to it.
You know, the oval, the oval of the groove.
Yeah.
You know, a metronome is very exacting and it's just right on that downbeat.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you, you know, and if you're swinging, you're playing all around and like you can switch that up and still listen to the metronome. But we just didn't even have one at all.
Yeah.
So I was daring us to like start rushing or hopefully not slowing down because it's a
rocker.
It's a little fasty.
Yeah. Just like song. This episode, like that segue.
Just a quick, crunchy little share. Well, that was beautiful, that Jumbine song.
Yeah, that was fun. All right. Anything else?
I think we did it.
We can bang on pots and pans.
And still kick out some Honest Jams.
Honest Jams podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Ayal Alvis and A. Walker Spring, and edited by me. Reach us at honestjamspodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Victor Nash for mixing our theme. Special thanks to Oogie. And thank you for listening. We can't wait to hear what you make.